Netflix says it's regaining subscribers. But are they really subscribers if they don't pay?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. Netflix stock is surging this morning. At last check, it was up 22%. The company did post a profit during the holiday season, but tech watchers say the real silver lining came in the form of more subscribers. Turns out Netflix attracted a lot of new users because it offered a lot of free trials. As Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, some of those folks may not stick around.
Hundreds of thousands of people who ditched Netflix last year may have come back because of this offer.
Get your free one-month trial at Netflix.com.
Netflix says it added 600,000 subscribers in the last 3 months. Tony Weibel tracks tech stocks for Janney Capital Markets.
It was entirely due to free.
A big chunk of those customers threw off DVDs by mail and opted only for streaming video. Weibel says the free trials are one way Netflix is trying to get customers back after the exodus last year. He says the holiday season gave Netflix another excuse to get new subscribers. It offered free trials on gifts like the Barnes & Noble Nook. But media analyst Ken Doctor says keeping those subscribers may be tricky. For one thing, the company's streaming video library isn't as deep as its DVD library.
The magazine industry knew that this was a problem.
Advertisers worried some magazines were inflating their numbers because if you get a free magazine that you don't care about in the mail, you might just throw it out.
And that's why they actually have a very, very specific metric that they force to be disclosed for advertisers, which is what is the number of paid subscribers.
Netflix free trials may have been especially successful because of the holiday season. They came with apps pre-installed on all sorts of hot Christmas gifts, like the Barnes & Noble Nook.
You know, I don't know that that is as fair of a metric as looking at paid subscribers.
After all, some analysts say Netflix may also have trouble keeping those subscribers. Netflix is facing competition from Hulu and Amazon. Many new subscribers only get to watch the videos available for online streaming. And that streaming library is not nearly as deep as the Netflix DVD collection. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. U.S. markets are mixed. The S&P is down about 0.2%. The NASDAQ is off the same, just about 0.2%. The Dow is down 24 points. It's at 12,781. The number of people filing for unemployment in this country ticked up 21,000 last week, but the overall trend still points to an improving job market.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
Now to the Republican presidential primary race. Tonight we have our first debate since Mitt Romney released his tax returns. Romney made nearly $22 million in 2010, much of that from investments he made at private equity firm Bain Capital, even though he retired more than a decade ago. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
The number that pops out here is $12.6 million. That's Romney's 2010 capital gains income. It comes from investments and is taxed at a lower rate than wages. Victor Fleischer teaches tax law at the University of Colorado. He says most of Romney's capital gains come from private equity investments he helped set up at Bain Capital more than a decade ago.
The manager at Bain Capital will help advise the investment fund when they purchase portfolio companies, whether it's Staples or Dunkin' Donuts. When the fund ultimately sells those underlying investments, the partners of Bain take a share of the profits.
The profit may exceed 20%, but it may not pan out for years until Staples or Dunkin' Donuts has been turned into a profit-making machine and sold off. There's another reason Romney's still making millions. He negotiated a sweet departure deal under which he gets a cut of the profits from investments that Bain made after he left. Nice work if you can get it in retirement. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The number that really got people talking when Romney released his taxes was the amount of money he paid Uncle Sam, which brings us to our weekly attitude check.
And the latest poll number suggests
margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said
We want to know how Americans feel about taxes, the taxes they pay and those paid by their BMW-driving neighbor. So we turn to Frank Newport, as we do every week. He's the editor-in-chief at the polling firm Gallup. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
So how do Americans feel about the taxes they pay?
Well, Americans, generally speaking, feel a lot better about the taxes they pay now than they did in the past. We've seen a clear indication that over the last decade, Americans have become less and less negative about taxes, and that's probably a result of the Bush tax cut. Americans still don't think that the amount of taxes they pay is necessarily too low, but we certainly don't have the angst about taxes that we had 10 or 15 years ago.
And how do we feel about the taxes wealthier folks pay?
Ah, that's a different question. That's one of the most verified and replicated findings we have in American survey research over the last year or two. Consistently, 60 to 70% of Americans, right in that range, say the upper-income Americans, wealthy Americans, however you want to define it, need to pay more in taxes. In fact, we just asked Monday night, just before President Obama's State of the Union address, do you favor higher taxes on upper-income Americans? 63% said yes. So that's our most recent iteration of the same thing. Doesn't matter how you ask it. Americans say, yeah, sure, tax the rich.
Now, do you have a sense people are paying more attention to tax rates now than maybe they were a year ago?
I don't think so. Every way we look at the data, what is the economic problem that bothered you most for your family? What's the biggest economic problem facing the country? What's the biggest problem in general facing the country? Nowhere do we see very many Americans at all talk about taxes. So I don't think that's a premier issue. What Americans are really concerned about economically now is jobs and having some kind of income that they can pay taxes on.
Frank Newport is editor-in-chief at Gallup. Thanks.
Good to be with you.
And finally, school lunches are about to get healthier. More vegetables, less fat. The USDA just released the first new set of school lunch food guidelines in 15 years. But school lunches won't be all kale and beets. French fries still count as a vegetable. So does pizza. The new rules do insist that pizza vegetable can't be the only vegetable on the plate. So that's something. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Sundance is one of the world's best-known film festivals, of course, but it turns out it ain't just about the movies.
I just walked up the street to do this interview, and there's a girl who has a little hummus lunch kit that she wanted me to have. And she had three people with hummus shirts walking down the street handing it out.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Sundance the festival, Sundance the brand. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.